Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Good morning, everybody. Morning after. Live. Roberta's heritageradionetwork.org. Oh, we lost our music there early. I'm really excited about today's show. The president of the network is in studio, so everyone please.
You're about to hear a live broadcast.
Jack Inslee, president of the network, is in studio. We're going to get a call in from our good friend James Melios, owner and operator of a great restaurant in Midtown.
I've got to go there, man. He's been on the show so many times. I got to go check that place out.
And this is the first time we're doing this, and I'm super excited because I can't say anything about like the music that we've had on before. Of course, it's been good, yeah. But it's not necessarily a genre that I look for. And Peel's band is in the house today, and I have the names here in front of me, but bear with me. Justin Lawless, Jenna Wise Berman, Brian Goodhart, and Bradley Nelson. I love these American names. They make it so much easier. And they're in studio today. They're going to be playing us out every break, and then they're going to do a live thing, and then we might do a spoken word thing we talked about. I don't know if creatively we're on the same page, but we're talking about it. What a wild week with everything going on in the industry. You know, Jesse Kiefer, the producer of the show, we had a big meeting yesterday on the phone, on iPhones. You know, it's very progressive here at the morning after. We talked about the direction of the show, specifically in July and August. A lot of food people are in town. This is the time we kind of get our energy back, go on vacations and stuff. So we wanted to give a little bit some love to the network on top of the fact of explore the morning after. We're coming up on our 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
And kind of see where we're pushing. So we called the president of the network to come in and kind of give us a little report card.
Here I am. Oh, a report card for the morning after?
No, just kind of come hang out. Jack Inslee, okay. What's up, man?
It's weird to be a guest.
Well, I saw you. You started here many years ago, and you were the engineer here on Sundays on top of like all your other responsibilities.
Right.
And now you're running sort of the network has become a nonprofit.
It's a nonprofit, yeah. And Erin Fairbanks deserves a whole lot of credit. She just came on as executive director, and she's turning the cool clubhouse thing into like a real organization.
A lot of standards. And a lot of titles
getting floated around. Yeah, I know.
Feel becoming like a General Electric kind of company. A lot of vice presidents. So talk to me a little bit about after the NPO status and where we're at as an.
I can make a few announcements. We've got Joe Campanelli is going to be hosting a wine show every Wednesday called In the Drink. He owns Dell'Anima and a bunch of other places.
Dell'Anima,
that I can't pronounce.
Lartuzzi.
Yeah, there you go. Lartuzzi, right.
And he has a third location opening up, yeah?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, and he runs marathons and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. Charismatic dude. So we've got a show with him. We've got a few other shows in the works, like a kids show. Cooking for kids.
Is that allowed here in Roberta's?
I know, right?
Like, you know, I don't know if they allowed children in this place. a kid show.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I have to say great because you're here. It kind of makes sense.
It's a demographic we haven't yet reached. You know, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds.
Yes. We're sort of like, we're Channel 13 now.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome. And interesting enough, yesterday I'm on Facebook, like everyone else here, with nothing to do, and a mutual friend happened to be at the block party here, which Roberta's kind of is like the centerpiece of it.
Yeah.
And I saw you, and I told my girlfriend, I said, hey, there's Jack in the background. It's just like Bonnaroo photos, like you're in the background somewhere. talk to me about the block party yesterday.
Slinging ham sandwiches, man. I was running the Heritage Meat Shop / Radio Sandwich stand with Caroline from the meat shop in Essex Street Market. So we had Berkshire ham, pickle butter, sea salt, pepper on a ciabatta bread.
Now, Heritage, let's talk a little, let's get a little bit more into history of our network.
Oh,
is Heritage Foods USA, started by our mentor,
mutual
mentor,
Martins,
Patrick Martins, who we all love. They opened a division of the butchery
first
shop
retail outlet essentially for Heritage Foods, who usually does mail order and wholesale to restaurants. So they've got all the cuts there. Basically, they do the cured hams, the country hams, all that stuff. So delicious stuff. We were just selling sandwiches all day. It's weird for me. I've never done a real food thing. You know, I'm always like on the media
it's
side.
It's strange because you're president of a food network. So
I know, but all
that
I do
makes
is the
total
media
bureaucratic sense that you would be in this position if you've never worked in food industry before.
Well, it's a radio station. See, I'm saying selling sandwiches. This is my first time, like, actually
being out there.
Right, like, you know, in the field.
I have to let you know that I will be myself personally here as a host before we go on our one-year anniversary. I will be on a two-week hiatus. Amanda Freitag will be hosting one of those weeks.
That's awesome.
And possibly Jesse Kiefer herself, maybe Pam Stubbs, maybe Jen Tulloch will be hosting another week here. I need to get my rest.
Jesse Kiefer's awesome, by the way.
So a little bit more about kind of where we see the network going forward in terms of like taking outside all the funness of it. Like basically we're in the podcast world. We're competing with other podcasts
right
now. Radio's sort of not necessarily dead. People listen to it, but we're in a podcast competition.
Yeah. I mean, I also want to, you know, the live stream now works on any device that you can find. And when we're not doing live shows, we're playing edited highlights of the best moments on radio. You get Michael Pollan, you get some musicians, you get all the best moments are cycling through. So, you know, our report at Bonnaroo. So when you tune into that live stream anytime, 24 hours a day, you can always hear something awesome. And I imagine, you know, car radios will start picking up internet radio. We're going to have Stitcher soon as another outlet for people to listen to. I just want more people tuning into it as a radio station.
Yeah, but I think the biggest pitch for us as what we are is I guess Peels can attest to this, the whole crew here, is anyone... There's no one I know that listens to anything live. It's very difficult. Maybe the opening ceremony of the Olympics, people like sat down and watched that live. There are very few events now that anyone listens to anything live.
Sports, like one of the only things left.
Yeah, but still, you might catch that on SportsCenter or whatever. But I feel like that's sort of where we're all headed, specifically with our network and how in touch it is with what's going on with food. The morning after tries. So we've always kind of been on the outskirts of the network where we try to do a little bit more sort of pop culture-y kind of stuff and not take things too serious. You know, I do want to save something. I haven't figured out what I want to save yet, but I do want to save something that's important in my life. But thank you for sort of all your hard work here the first year of the morning after and sort of
with
the network. Any other little things I should know? When am I getting canceled, I guess?
You getting canceled? I think everybody should buy a t-shirt and become a member of the network. We're a nonprofit organization. The t-shirt is a donation. It's a $25 donation. Or you can become a member for a year for $60. You get a membership card. Gives you discounts at certain food outlets and restaurants and stuff. We're working on building that all out right now. So that would be what I encourage any fan of the show to do.
Well, Jack Inslee, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me, man.
Anytime.
I'm going to step out so the band can play.
Oh, yes, we will be playing it out here. But I wanted to bring up one other thing that I love this time of year, which is Tales of the Cocktail, which is a cocktail-based event. It happens in New Orleans every year, but it's like anything else. We were talking about Bonnaroo before. This is kind of something that started grassroots and got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And some facts that are out there about this specific event. It started in 2003. The number of volunteers have grown. Every year it doubles in size. And what it is you're going to call it mixologist or bartender or barkeep or whatever you want to call them. They go down to New Orleans every year and meet up with each other. It's sponsored by a lot of liquor companies and talk about cocktails and everything. And I had to give that a plug. This happened this week. I think it's one of the really fun events that anyone outside of the industry, if they are allowed to go, they should check out. But I'm looking here at Peels. They have they're handing notes together here. They're going to play us out here for our first break. Guys, what song are we going to hear?
It's R&R.
R&R?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
One, two, three, four.
Ooh, darling, I miss you like you were a lover. Please, please return to my window pane.
We're back morning after. We have a couple of good friends on the air right now. 44 Communications, Alexandra Hines and Chris Langley, somewhere in America. Where are you guys?
Hi, we're doing well.
Are you guys?
How's it going?
What's up? What's up, kids? I know you're super busy. Where are you guys right now? I know you're in two different locations. Are you in the New England area?
Yep, we're both in Massachusetts. I'm seeing my family on the Cape, and Chris is in the city.
Let's talk about Outside Lands, because this is sort of the, we talk about, you know, Batman's out now. We have the last installment. Now, the last installment for 44 Communications, as far as my world includes, is we had Googa Mooga, we had Bonnaroo, and now we're on Outside Lands, which is very similar to Googa Mooga in a sense, but it's a lot bigger, a lot more established, happening in the San Francisco. Guys, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, Googa Mooga is sort of a hybrid of, Outside Lands is sort of a hybrid of Googa Mooga and Bonnaroo. It's heavy on the music. There's almost 100 acts over 3 days. And then there's about 200 different food, wine, and this year, for the first time ever, beer options. So it's almost like the most amazing West Coast food festival meets like a world-class music concert.
In the sense that you show up and you get tickets and you go around, you do some tastings and stuff. That's the grammar of it works just like Googa Mooga.
Yep, exactly.
A little bit, yeah.
There's a tent called Winelands, and you can try almost 40 different vineyards wine in Winelands. And then there's Beerlands this year, where there are about 17 different breweries, all California. And then there's a Taste of the Bay Area, where you have some of the city's best restaurants.
Chris, you were saying something. What's up?
Yeah, you know, it's the perfect setting, really, for this type of festival, too. I mean, you're right smack in the middle of Golden Gate Park. If anyone hasn't been to, it's there's a lot of different open areas, and this particular area of the park where the festival takes place is in the Polo Grounds area, where there's an opportunity for some of these great restaurants from the Bay Area to be lined up on other side of the actual Polo Grounds with a huge main stage for music on the end. So what's great is, you can pick up some ahi tuna and then roll over, get a glass of wine, and then merely steps away, you can see some of the best music in the world. And, for us, it was really the first sign of, the perfect blend of music, wine, and food, and now the addition of Beer Lands this year really completes the picture.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think one of the things we noticed that Bonnaroo was that was my first Bonnaroo. I was there, you guys saw me there. I was like dressed for a prom or something. I was there for about 24 hours, and I kind of got the culture of what our friends at Superfly Presents like put out there, and I kind of got the idea after being at Googa Mooga that they really were trying to apply some of the same culinary things at Bonnaroo, but Bonnaroo being as respected as it is in the music scene, trying to bring food in without intruding on that and making it, like too much, we really enjoyed covering it. One of the things that myself and Jesse really loved was that one specific section where there was a lot of food vendors. Can you guys talk a little bit about that little section that was at Bonnaroo?
Superfly is really unique for looking to where the festival is and kind of honoring like what's going to work within that atmosphere and that part of the country. So at Bonnaroo, they have the food truck Oasis, which is probably what you're referring to, and that's where there are like 9 different food trucks, all from the southeast, coming in and serving great variations of street food. So yeah, it keeps it casual. There's a nice young demographic at Bonnaroo. It's very hot. You kind of want to get your food and catch a show, but they still have done a great job of bringing in regional trucks, a lot of them sourcing locally, and putting out a really diverse menu.
Yeah, that's where we did our sort of our 60 minutes interpretation. Like we went in that area, and I literally walked into every kitchen. I was like with my like that Chris Hansen guy. I walked in with a microphone, like, "Hey, what's going on in here?" They're like, "We're just making food. you know, for everybody. It was like 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and I, you know, after being there for that day, I didn't realize that they had to serve about 2,000 people. I was like, okay, great. Where are you guys sourcing from? Where is this? Where is that? So it was hysterical. But I want to concentrate, because I don't think that your company gets, you know, you sort of PR companies, you just hear a lot about what they cover and what they represent. But this is sort of a grassroots company. 44 Communications, I think, has a derivative of Syracuse University, where Chris went to school. You guys are friends, but can you guys talk a little bit about what the company and what the focus is?
Sure. Alexander and I have been working together. I've known Alexander for several years now, but combined we've been doing food-focused PR for close to 13 years now. We met at a great agency in New York where we both worked, called Bullfrog and Bound, which you're probably familiar with. And we, you know, kind of went off and decided to open up this agency, which, you know, overall has a lifestyle appeal to it, but a lifestyle focus, but a huge part of that is a focus on food and beverage. And we were fortunate enough to meet Superfly early on in the company's early beginnings, and, you know, they got us involved immediately in Outside Lands. And in addition to the work we do with them, we work with some great restaurants up in New England, primarily in the Boston area, and certainly we've done some nice work down here in New York as well.
And anyone that wants to be involved in Outside Lands, and just go on the, I think, Superfly Presents website, or Outside Land, just Google any of those.
Yes.
Superfly
co-produces it with Another Planet Entertainment, so you can check out sfoutsidelands.com for all the info.
Well, Alexandra Hines and Chris Langley, I want to thank you guys for your time. It's funny, I always run into you guys in the most precarious places. hopefully I'll see you out in Frisco, what's the date of the event?
It's 2 weekends from now. It's August 10th to the 12th.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us on the show.
Anytime. Hey, guys. Hey, Peels. How are you?
Going?
Do you guys want to do this spoken word thing or no?
What is it exactly?
Yeah.
Oh, what's going on in there? everyone's all mad at me right now. No, that's awesome that we got to speak to Alexander and Chris. These are the guys that sort of do the PR side of the food side of a lot of these events. Specifically, like, you know, have you guys ever been to Bonnaroo? I mean, you guys seem pretty... Have you guys been to Bonnaroo? Have you guys ever gone to that event?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, bring soap and a tent.
Right.
And... You know, don't show up like me with nothing and then sleep, like, have to, like, you know, like, get into somebody's tent and sleep on the floor. And it's one of those big idea things where you're like, yeah, no, I'm going to go show up. No, I'll find something out. And then, like, at the end of the event, somebody's like, where are you staying? I'm like, I don't know. I'll probably just, like, maybe find a hotel. And, like, there's no hotel. Like, we're in the middle of, like, there's nothing around here. I'm like. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Jason, I feel like you slept on my, like, flannel shirt. As that was your pillow.
No, the jacket I'm wearing now, it was my pillow. I used whatever you guys had in that truck.
It's like a towel or something.
Yeah, exactly. But I woke up at, like, 8 o'clock in the morning. I felt like $1 million, and it was raining. And I knock on this guy's window who was driving outside of the... festivities. I was like, hey, can you drive me to the Holiday Inn? He's like, I guess. I was like, well, is it really that weird that I'm asking you for this? Like, we're in the middle of a campsite. Like, so I end up driving with this guy and, like, his girlfriend or something. And he's like, why are you here? I said, well, I'm covering it for our show. Why are you here? He's like, like my dad's one of the Beach Boys or something. I didn't know whatever it was. But he dropped me off, and I got picked up, and it was a great, great experience. But we're gonna get taken out here by. We have another song coming out by Peels. Here we go.
Ah.
Morning after, we're back. Pam Stubbs in the house, coming into the corner here, running over the gauntlet of speakers and George Harrison guitars and everything else. There we go. All right. Jump over. Here we go. We got your mic set up. Do you mind if she steals your headphones for 2 seconds? Okay. Oh, here we go. Am I wrong? Peels. Am I wrong to say that? Isn't that the George Harrison, like that John Lennon, like kind of bluesy, like old Clapton?
He used the Epiphone.
Yeah, that was an Epiphone Casino. This is a Gretsch.
Oh, yes.
It's very similar looking up.
The Epiphone Gretschino rule. I forgot about that.
That's exactly right.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Identify yourself, please.
Pam Stubbs.
Yes, Pam Stubbs, a good friend. You know, I was in a meeting, and I can't say where I was in this meeting, but something came up that you are Corin, which is a company that sells glassware.
Yes.
This breakable.
Yes, we have them.
Yes, are so it is. It is okay. So
we have their wine. Our wine stems and our flutes are this special. I mean, when you say unbreakable, less breakable.
Breakable. I think we have. This is another thing we have Steve Jobs to thank for. Well, interesting enough, when the whole Gorilla Glass, which actually is an American-based company for the iPhone, when that whole thing came about, this introspection and glass technology kind of pushed towards other R&D stuff, and that trickles down into everything else. And I don't know if this is where Corin is coming out of, but I know they're doing this whole line of less breakable Burgundies, Bordeaux that have the elegance.
Yes,
of,
they're beautiful glasses.
Yeah, and you guys are using them.
We're using them. I mean, they're very thin glass still, so you get that nice, you know, nice wine glass feel. And they do definitely. I mean, you can bang them against the table and they won't break.
So in a higher volume restaurant, you can actually kind of...
Yeah, we definitely buy less glassware now than we were when we were using our first set.
When did this start?
We probably started buying those, I would say maybe like 6 months in.
And now you're...
Now we're almost a year old, so we've had them for about 6 months now.
Pam, I have a question. Is that glassware more expensive?
Yes, it is more expensive, but you kind of make up that extra expense by not having to purchase it as much, hopefully. I mean, there's still breakage. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not like if you drop a tray of them, they're going to break because there is a weak spot in them, but they are much less likely to break.
I think it's compared to a $4 per glass cost to like us. $7 per glass cost for this particular, but let's move on from glassware because we don't want to alienate everybody. So I love talking about this stuff, but Tertulia,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
Talk to me. What's up? Hero Foods.
But bigger kind of news is we're almost celebrating our 1 year anniversary, which I think is kind of amazing and doing extremely well. It's very steadily busy still. And it's kind of crazy to me that a year has gone by.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's been a whole year.
Like opening a place awesome. And that whole, all that crap that comes with that. Yeah. Lambs to the thing I always say about opening staff, at least management, is like they're lambs to slaughter. I mean, it's just sad, but it's true. I mean, you know, you're talking about opening a place that's going to be busy no matter what, and there's nothing organized, and everything has to get in place, and it's a high-profile chef, but it's a little bit smaller of a place, and I think there was a family environment because everybody was...
There was, and we were actually just talking about it the other day. We were sitting in a meeting that almost our entire management staff has been here since the beginning, and I thought that was... You don't see that a lot in restaurants.
There's usually a lot of opening
restaurants. There's a lot of turnover in your management staff, and almost everyone there, our sous chef, our CDC, our general manager.
But a lot of that comes from Seamus Mullen. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, a lot of it is a derivative of like the restaurateur, the chef.
And absolutely.
Now, after working with Jesse Kiefer now, who's, you know, good friends with Seamus and stuff like that, and seeing a little bit more about, you know, and being friends with you, seeing a little more about the philosophy that goes behind him and the loyalty that he has as a chef, it makes sense. You know, it's not the case with a lot of openings. You know, you always see, you know, it's like, oh, this guy opened this restaurant, and then, you know, a year and a half later, everybody's leaving, they go somewhere else, and...
Well, a lot of us had worked with Seamus before, too, and I said to him the other day, I said, that's a testament to you that you've kept your team together for a year through an opening.
He's inspiring. He seems like an inspiring
guy. He is very inspiring. I absolutely love working with him. He's awesome.
Have you listened to our friends here at Peel's, not the restaurant, the group?
Yes.
It's a joke. But I'm going to actually scoot this over here and say hello to everybody. Can I start directly across from me? Can you state your name and... it's like that Doors thing.
I'm Justin.
Justin, yes.
That's correct.
Justin's on vocals.
I sing things.
And
play guitar sometimes.
And you play the guitar.
Sort of.
Then we have...
Brian?
Brian over there, but it looks like it's hysterical because we can't like have a huge drum set here, so he has this whole... Betty Ross thing going on over there. It's very nice. Just Betty Ross chic, you know.
We put a nice little knit thing, blanket over what I brought, so...
It's red, white, and blue. That's
it's red, white,
say
and blue.
That.
Yeah.
Because you can't see, but... It could be French, too, though.
It could, depending on which way you look at it,
dirty little secret.
Wait.
Jenna, you're a new, not necessarily new addition, but you're new to the group or band. I don't know. I'm not even cool anymore. I don't fucking know. I mean, new to the band. I mean, what do I say? Band or group or what?
Combo.
Either. Combo. Yeah, it's up to you. It's your show, so.
Well, yeah, but we're sort of exploring, you know, having a little bit more music here at the show. So talk to me a little bit about where you guys are at creatively, because I like to hear the creative side of it. I mean the new music and stuff like that, or where we can get it, we'll talk about later, but talk to me a little bit about the creative side.
Well, I joined the band probably 8 months ago or so.
It's December, I think, or January.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so not even that long ago, but they'd been playing for a while, and I was in another band called Household, and we played a show with them. And I left that band and came into this band, and it's
immediately
been...
snatched her up.
Right. Did you guys have I hate to be a genderist here, but you have a female vocalist before, or do you guys feel like you needed that, or just it was like whatever, we need somebody to sing?
They're always, I think, the idea of backing vocals and harmonies and things. And after hearing her singing voice, it was kind of like, okay, this has to happen. So
that's so sweet.
That's all there is to it. So
well, I love your voice.
No, I love.
No, I love yours more.
Do you want a hug?
I'm awesome.
But since that happened, have you guys moved forward? Creative? Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, there was definitely a dynamic before, but readjusting with Jenna being around has been really awesome. And, you know, like the second song that we played is something that we really worked on a lot together. And, definitely.
But when you guys work on something together, is that just you guys hanging out at a coffee shop or in the studio? Because I love this stuff. I mean, like, you guys on the guitars and, like, that creative process, how does that happen? Especially because, you know, it's fairly new to both of you. And, you know, when there's egos involved and people are intelligent and musically inept, they tend to, things tend to crash and burn.
That has happened with bands for sure. We all get along really well, and usually the way it works is Justin will kind of start working on a song and bring it in to us, and we'll all work on that together and change it. I've recently started to do some of my own songs. I think we're gonna maybe work on one of mine next, and then it's fun. And they've also been super patient because I was a drummer. And that's what I did in my last band, and I did not know how to play the guitar at all.
Are you serious?
I had no idea what I was doing. I just learned in the past few months, sort of. I mean, I have a long way to go, but they've been super awesome about showing me, like, you know, how to do that, basically. So that's been fun.
You're obviously musically... shouldn't be talented because if you're playing that's like a 57 Chevy or Cadillac. No. I mean, that thing's huge.
And I need to get my own guitar too. I'm borrowing theirs for now, so I'll get on that.
And guys, what's up? So talk to me.
I'm excited to be on a show about food because I think
so let's go into that. Well, Jesse's freaking out now that I'm not talking about food. But let's talk about food, because food is a big part of traveling. You're on the road. I don't know if you guys travel a lot. And, you know, being in a van and going from place to place, you go to cool city to cool city, but sometimes you don't have time to proper nutrition.
Yeah, there's a lot of fries and, you know, grilled cheese that happens really furtively before the show. but
or you won't go on.
Yeah,
or we won't go on. We'll pass out.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need Gruyere, or we're not going to go on air.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Green apples.
This is Swiss.
Yes.
Yeah, you also have to figure out which chains are good. I mean, we haven't really toured yet, but being in a band in general, when you're on tour, you have to kind of... There are towns where they only have chain stores. It really sucks. But you sort of find... Like, I kind of can definitely, like, tolerate Panera, and I look for that now. But yeah. Then there are others that, like, I think are just horrible.
So you've been touring in New England. It's yeah. Like a big New England thing.
It is. That and Dunkin' Donuts, right? All over New
croissant
England.
Croissant with the egg and cheese. Can never go wrong with that.
But is that like, because you don't have time? Doesn't that stuff slow you down? I hate that. That's the only reason why, like, I like it, because so the other side of food, like that whole four-star world, and then you have that other side which kind of like balances it out. But it doesn't take, like, it's just, it makes you feel like crap sometimes. I mean, like, you know, you eat it or whatever, but I kind of understand if you guys are like, you know, putting your money together and you're in a van and driving up to like, Connecticut and then going to Portland, Maine or whatever and popping in a place and it's like, well, you can eat here, but it's an extra like $40, $50, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Portland,
well,
Maine has great food.
Portland, Maine's right. Yeah.
The fast food's actually preemptive because we drink a lot because we're in a band, so
oh, yeah.
We actually need to kind of absorb all of that alcohol that we will consume.
Talk to me about all that drinking. Is that you guys bring bottles of stuff or you order stuff?
Not, yeah, that's how serious. We get paid.
Well, right? Yeah, well, a lot of those,
yeah, exactly.
A lot of those venues would be like, well, we're not going to give you any money for the door or this, but you guys could drink for free and kind of right. Like whatever.
Right. All the PBR you want.
Which is fine, really.
Yesterday I mean, we went. Yesterday we got food for free, which is always really
yes.
Nice.
Where was that?
We were actually at Ripper's in Rockaway, which I think is owned by the... Are run by the people that own the restaurant that we're sitting in right now.
Probably. These Roberta's guys are into everything.
Yeah. So they had something to do with that, and they make these amazing
veggie burgers.
Oh, they're awesome. So
and
good.
Fish sandwiches that were awesome with like huge chunks of avocado.
Yes.
So that it's always nice to get paid in food. Sometimes I prefer it to money, actually, if it's really good.
Where are you guys from originally?
All over.
Yeah. I'm from Atlanta originally.
Okay, ATL. But there's a huge. Interesting food scene happening in Atlanta right now. I mean, I don't know when you left there.
I've been here almost 7 years.
Yeah.
So it's been a minute. I was still eating pizza and salads and things when I left. So.
Pizza salad?
Pizza and salad.
And everybody else? Where are you guys from?
I'm from Chicago.
Oh, forget it. There we go.
I'm from Peoria, Illinois.
I'm from Western Mass, from Northampton, Massachusetts. So we're all from pretty good food places.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something going on in each place. So let's talk about the last song you guys are going to play us out. Is this anything behind it, or?
Justin
wrote this one.
Justin?
I don't know. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
Honestly. You know. I think in mind I had something a little different from the things that we were doing before.
Did that happen after the new addition to the band, or?
I think it was. It kind of came together around the same time.
Yeah, it's like the first song we did with Jenna, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of our stuff, for me vocally, has had a lot of reverb on it, and so I wanted to try to do something without. And I mean, today it's obviously a little different, but. So, yeah.
Yeah, this is the song you can hear his words right. In.
Yes.
Frighteningly enough.
That's fun.
Yeah, I said it.
Awesome. Well, let's hear that song. Have you guys play us out? I want to remind everybody, this is The Morning After. You can tune in to Twitter at the Jason Colucci. Also, we next couple of months before we go into September, we have a Michael White, we have Amanda Freitag guest hosting, and a bunch of other fun things happening. Tune in next week, next Sunday, 3:00. All right, guys, here we go.
Well, and I just wanted to know where we can get their music and check them out online as well.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
There we go.
What's our Bandcamp?
It's Peels NYC at Bandcamp. And there's an EP up there right now that will be free, a 4-song EP. Yeah. And I think the kind of short-term goal is to get some recording done before the end of the year and get new stuff up, so...
Yeah, that will be free probably within like 2 hours. We're going to go change it. So peelsnyc.bandcamp.com.
There we go.
Thanks for having us.
One, two, three.
For listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.